This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org, International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 17, Number 4, June 2016. The title of this article is The Effect of Multilingual Facilitation on Active Participation in MOOCs. The authors of this article are Jean-François Colas of the Open University of Catalonia in Barcelona, Spain, Peter B. Slope of Welton Institute at the Open University of the Netherlands, and Muriel Garrida Domingo of the Open University of Catalonia in Barcelona, Spain. Abstract: A New Approach for Overcoming the Language and Culture Barriers to Participation in Massive Open Online Courses is reported. It is hypothesized that the juxtaposition of English as the language of instruction, used for interacting with course materials, and one's preferred language as the language of participation, used for interaction with peers and facilitators, is preferable to English only for participation in a MOOC. The hands-on IKE MOOC included 7 teams of facilitators, each catering for a different language community. Facilitators were responsible for promoting active participation and peer tutoring. Comparing language groups revealed a series of predictors of intention to learn, some of which became apparent in the first days of the MOOC already. The comparison also uncovered 4 critical factors that influence participation: facilitation, language of participation, group size, and a pre-existing sense of community. Especially crucial was reaching a sufficient number of active participants during the first week. We conclude that multilingual facilitation activates participation in MOOCs in various ways, and that synergy between the 4 aforementioned factors is critical for the formation of the learning network that supports a social dynamic of active participation. Our approach suggests future targets for the development of the multilingual and community potential of MOOCs. Keywords: MOOC, multilinguality, facilitation, language barrier, language of participation, cultural translation, peer tutoring, community, Dunbar's number, group size, learning network, connectivist dynamics, active participation, inactivity, intention to learn, introduction, MOOCs and multilingual education. Massive open online courses have become popular instruments for opening up education to non-traditional student audiences, including those from different cultures and language groups. MOOCs are portrayed as being widely accessible. However, English is their predominant language, so one seems to assume that non-English speakers would easily be able to understand and digest English language content. However, research shows that a mere 20% of the world's population is able to profit from English-only educational content. Thus, it is fair to assume that many online learners will stumble upon a language barrier in their study of MOOCs if these are offered in English only. MOOCs, therefore, would do well to become multilingual. This is particularly so for Europe. There, MOOCs in different languages would promote cross-cultural and multilingual learning, helping to preserve Europe's rich cultural, educational and linguistic heritage. Furthermore, leveraging Europe's linguistic richness creates an enormous opportunity for reaching target audiences in other parts of the world as well. Yet, even though Europe recognizes it is the moment to latch onto the opportunities offered by MOOCs, European Union MOOC activities are mainly concentrated in Western and Southern Europe, do not fully reflect the cultural diversity of Europe, and serve a limited number of language communities only. Even though the majority of Europeans agree that all 24 languages spoken in EU should be treated on a par, English is the language that Europeans are most likely to be able to speak as a second language. In actual fact, then, multilinguality still is a distant ideal. Perhaps another approach is needed, one in which English plays the part of a lingua franca that facilitates the translation of courses into any other European language. Initiatives such as the European Multiple MOOC Aggregator capitalize on this idea by providing multilingual access to European MOOCs, thus bringing within reach the ideal of a pan-European, multilinguistic, cross-cultural approach to online learning that reaches students beyond national boundaries. MOOCs on EMMA are the first to be offered in 3 languages: Spanish, English and Italian. EMMA translates video subtitles and text content with the help of advanced speech recognition and machine translation technology. thus providing access to any MOOCs learning materials in three languages. The next step would be to expand the number of target languages. Although not foreseen, this is doable. Taking yet one step further, EMMA would also automatically translate interactive content, say from the native speaker's tongue into English via a translation service. At present, however, this is one step too far as the quality of the translation leaves too much to be desired. And yet, even if automatic translation would be of a high quality, it is a misunderstanding to believe that MOOCs can be made accessible to everyone just by translating them. Translation alone can't fully replace course offerings developed by people who have a deep understanding of the cultural context in which students learn. Contextualization, or cultural translation, makes MOOCs relevant to students in their respective cultural settings. As the proponents of EMMA judiciously notice, offering MOOCs in multiple languages evokes a new challenge, that of the necessity of tutors to cover the entire course language spectrum. So although translation no doubt increases MOOC accessibility, it still leads to a loss of pedagogical quality. Besides, most likely, cultural translation cannot be automated in the foreseeable future, if at all. We therefore sought to address this issue in a novel way. It is grounded in the distinction between the passive and active command of a language. People may well be able to read a foreign language, yet find it difficult to interact with other people in it. Therefore, for a particular MOOC, we decided to offer to people from different language groups English-only written content. However, we tackled the issue of cultural diversity that direct translation fails properly to address by offering multilingual facilitation, that is, facilitation in one's own preferred language. Facilitation of participation within the virtual learning environment of a MOOC teachers clearly play a different role than in ordinary, face-to-face teaching environments. Indeed, to help overcome barriers to participation in MOOCs, new teacher roles have emerged that vary depending on the kind of MOOC. Teachers in the connectivist MOOCs, or CMOOCs, express educational goals differently than teachers in the institutionally rooted, highly structured extensions of MOOCs known as CMOOCs. They facilitate self-directed learning rather than provide access to expert knowledge. Facilitators need to guide the learners and their communities to get involved and embrace social media practices. Importantly, facilitation also needs to address differences in cultural communication patterns. For learners who are not fully acculturated in the course's cultural backdrop, such differences easily become barriers to participation and learning, and even lead to isolation. This is particularly likely to happen when learners do not know each other well. The communication medium is impoverished and contains reduced nonverbal cues only, and meaning is mostly carried by asynchronous, written means of communication. This view of facilitation is also espoused by Deward et al. They notice that, to encourage multilingual participation in a MOOC, one should create small, open learning groups based in the various learners' native languages or in languages they feel comfortable with. Such local open learning groups can offer in-person networking and assistance. They also provide an environment in which peer learners can tutor each other. The groups then effectively work as peer learning communities, allowing the burden of providing feedback to shift at least in part from the facilitator to the learners themselves. Peer learning communities are justified in terms of sustainability plans for the instructors that obviously drastically change the teacher role. Research shows that such online peer learning communities, sometimes called ad hoc transient communities, can indeed be effective, efficient and attractive learning aids. However, peer tutoring can pose severe problems to many learners. First, they may not have the necessary skills to act as tutors. Second, and of particular relevance in the present context, they may not be able to bridge cultural divides. This goes, of course, especially for many non-native English speakers who participate in MOOCs offered in English. As argued, such MOOCs are inevitably developed from the developer's own cultural perspective. Participants in such MOOCs cannot but align themselves with that cultural perspective. Although not impossible, it is obviously hard then to bridge cultural divides on one's own. To be able effectively to do so, a facilitator is needed who is conversant with the MOOC's cultural backdrop and that of the open learning groups in it. The Hanson MOOC experiment, the facilitation approach sketched in the above, we investigated in the Hands-on IKE MOOC, a course offered to educators at all educational levels aimed at letting them become more conversant with the use of information and communications technology in their teaching. To the best of our knowledge, it is the first MOOC to incorporate various teams of facilitators, each responsible for promoting participation and peer tutoring in a different language community. Our approach was suggested by exploratory research that the Hansen Project team carried out during an earlier pilot of the course. Our findings indicated that, while most participants were able to read the learning materials in English, they were reluctant to join the English spoken live video conference sessions. Crucially, the Greek forum that was offered as an impromptu solution proved to be used intensely throughout the entire pilot. Completion rate for this earlier pilot of the MOOC was 9.2%, already beating the 5% rates thus far observed in MOOCs and those obtained in similar MOOCs for teacher training such as the Open Learning Design Studios MOOC or the EIKTIN Primary Education MOOC. Also, similar to the trend identified by Jordan, the first 2 weeks of the earlier pilot appeared to be critical in gaining student engagement. These positive preliminary results led us to further investigate facilitation in the student's native language. The Hansen MOOC pilot reported here guided participants through the various steps of a design process, with the aim of teaching them to produce design artifacts. This setup demanded learners each to develop their own learning project, which was to be tied to their own specific needs and cultural contexts. They were also stimulated to do so cooperatively. Although the learning materials were still provided in English only, the learners could produce artifacts and interact in forums with peers and facilitators in the language of their choice, usually their native tongue. We refer to the language in which the content was developed and made available to the learners as the language of instruction. The language in which the learners produced their artifacts, interacted with each other and with their facilitators we call the language of participation, to emphasize that only through active linguistic interaction genuine participation is achieved. 7 languages of participation were offered to the learners: Bulgarian, Catalan, English, French, Greek, Slovenian or Spanish. We began by suggesting that multilinguality of MOOCs would address issues with their accessibility. We argued that, although efforts to translate MOOCs have been made, simple translation does not address existing broad cultural differences and that multilingual facilitation is called for. This then is why we developed the approach just described. It involves 2 research hypotheses. The first addresses the issue of whether the use of English as a language of instruction for anyone, regardless their native language, does not pose an insurmountable barrier. If it would do so, we would consider our approach as failed. H1 The use of English as the language of instruction, even for non-native English speakers, does not stand in the way of MOOC access. The second hypothesis is our main hypothesis. It addresses the question of whether multilingual facilitation indeed fosters productive MOOC engagement. Productive MOOC engagement should be evident not only from the participants' appreciation but predominantly from increased completion rates. H2 The use of the various participants' preferred languages as the languages of participation increases the success of MOOC engagement. Research method. To tackle the complexity of the language and culture barriers to participation in a MOOC, the Hansen Project used a design-based research approach. It allowed us to study in naturalistic settings the impact of the incremental changes we administered over 3 pilots. The pilot reported here is the 3rd in succession. Its focus is the evaluation of the effects of creating 7 language groups to support multilingual facilitation. Information on the other pilots may be found in Stoyanov, Slope, Deby, and Hermans for Pilot 1 and in Garita Domingo, Hernandez Leo, Moore, and Slope for Pilot 2. This 3rd pilot ran for 5 weeks, starting October 24, 2014. It was extensively advertised through many different sources and communities as the Learning Design Studio for EIKT-based learning activities MOOC, because it made extensive use of the Learning Design Studio approach by Moore and Modulevsky. The MOOC was implemented in the Canvas virtual learning environment. The activities and resources were made available to all participants as Canvas modules. Each weekly module corresponded to one of the 5 phases of the learning design methodology: initiate, investigate, inspire and ideate, prototype and evaluate and reflect. For the course to be facilitated in 7 languages, 7 parallel learning groups were created, each one linked to a separate Canvas group that functioned as the group's discussion space. Each language-specific learning group met every week for discussion in a live convergence session. Each of the 7 language groups was served by its own facilitator. Volunteer facilitators with an adequate command of English and of at least 1 of the 7 different languages used were recruited through a call on the Hansen website and the Hansen Consortium members' networks. They were trained through a series of informal video conference meetings with the organizers. These sessions were focused on the learning design methodology, the MOOC activities, and the MOOC EIKT tools. In total, there were 16 active facilitators. 4 were Bulgarian, 2 Catalan, 3 English, 2 French, 3 Greek, and 2 Spanish. Due to the low activity in the small Slovenian group, after the first week facilitation was made available to its members through the English group only, participant experience was evaluated at the end of the course through questionnaires about the course and its approach, specifically on facilitation and multilinguality. Data were collected by an e-survey, using the LIME survey web application. Closed questions were used, based on a 5-degree Likert scale. Data were analyzed using descriptive statistics. 82 fully filled out responses to the survey were received from the participants. The language group distribution of these 82 respondents is given in table post pilot 3. Which language group did you join in the appendix? As the survey was filled in anonymously, a breakdown of responses by language group is not available. Description of participants. In total, 1,691 people joined the pilot by creating a username in the Canvas environment of the course. Of them, 902 joined one of the 7 language groups and were active during the first week at least. Note that being part of a language group was needed to participate in any of the MOOC activities. Although the English and Spanish groups were the biggest ones by a small margin, the 902 participants who joined some language group were distributed fairly evenly over the groups. The only exception was the Slovenian group, counting 19 members only. Excluding the Slovenian group, which was short-lived, the average group size was 147.2 participants. Figure 1. Distribution of participants in the 7 language groups of the Hansen MOOC. For 4 reasons, the setup deliberately did not include a control group of learners, who would have had to be tutored in a language different than their own. First, methodologically speaking, the entire Hansen study was set up as a design experiment, with incremental changes administered over 3 pilots. The first pilot setup was suggested by a literature survey, and changes were subsequently implemented in pilots 2 and 3 as a result of experiences in pilots 1 and 2 respectively. Such a design study does not lend itself naturally to randomized experimental designs with control groups. Second, one of the ideas driving the Hansen project was to beat the usual high dropout rates. Those rates have been reported widely, so there is little to be gained from measuring them again. Third, there is also an ethical aspect. Is it acceptable to expose learners with a genuine professional development need to a learning environment that, judging from existing research, is very likely to be suboptimal? Our answer was no. Fourth and most importantly, exposing learners to a randomized experimental design would have implied informing them about the nature of the experiment, including the likelihood of participating in a control group. Providing this information is an ethical and legal obligation. We feared it would cause people to drop out once they realized they participated in the control group. This would have affected the very purpose of the investigation. Analysis of research results. Results of the Hansen MOOC experiment. Participation over time. Over the 5-week duration of the experiment, MOOC participation dwindled, as was to be expected. Figure 2 describes the way in which participation unfolds during the 5-week period. Overall, out of 798 participants who were active during week 1, 161 completed the first week's module of activities. Among them were the 92 designers who eventually completed all the modules of the course and were awarded the designer badge and a course completion certificate as a result. The figure details 4 participant types, the designers and 3 kinds of non-designers. Non-designers either completed, started, or did not start at all the weekly modules of learning activities. Figure 2. Participation in weekly modules of activities. The pattern of activity showed a steady fall over the course duration, which was mostly due to the decrease in the number of non-designers, who only started the modules. Their number was 637 at the beginning of the course and went down to only 31 in week 5. The number of non-designers completing the module decreased similarly, so that by the end of week 5, designers represented the large majority of still active participants. Differences between the 7 language groups were observed in the way participation developed over the 5 weeks of the MOOC. Figure 3. Bulgarian group. Participation in weekly modules of activities. Figure 4. Catalan group. Participation in weekly modules of activities. Figure 5. English group. Participation in weekly modules of activities. Figure 6. French group. Participation in weekly modules of activities. Figure 7. Greek group. Participation in weekly modules of activities. Figure 8. Slovenian group. Participation in weekly modules of activities. Figure 9. Spanish group. Evolution of participation in weekly modules of activities. All seven groups showed the McGuire decrease described above in the number of non-designers, but with some idiosyncrasies. Notably, the Greek non-designers only starting the module stood out from the rest of the groups, especially in week 1, as they represented only 37% of the total number of participants of the Greek group, while this proportion ranged from 46 to 63% in the other groups. Also, of the 109 non-designers completing modules recorded during weeks 1-4 for all groups, 43 were from the Catalan group. The most salient difference between language groups was, however, in the number of designers, most of them belonging to only three language groups, the Bulgarian, Catalan and Greek ones. To refine the description of participants' engagement and the comparisons between the language groups, as well as to gain further insights into the possible origins of observed differences, special attention was paid to completion behavior following accomplishment of week 1. According to Larillard, activity in week 1 is a much better indicator of intention to study than registration. Indeed, 57% of the participants who completed week 1's module completed the whole course, whereas only 10.2% of the total number of registrants did. Figure 10. Completion rates for the seven language groups. The Greek group had the best post-week 1 completion rate. Of the 35 participants active in week 1, 28 finished the course and obtained the designer badge. This translated also into the best completion rate overall, taking into account all the members of the Greek group. With similar rates, the Bulgarian group is second to the Greek one. The Catalan group with an overall 19% completion rate ranks third, although with only 54% of those who completed week 1, no Slovenian participant obtained a badge. The completion rate of week 1 badge owners for the three remaining groups, English, French and Spanish, was less than half of the Greek rate. Thus, large differences between language groups were observed in how the participation rates developed over the 5 weeks of the MOOC. Activity during week 1 appeared to be a solid predictor of course completion. To gain insights into the possible causes for such differences, we turned to the participants' evaluation of their experience with the multilingual facilitation. This information was obtained through surveys, especially those on multilinguality and facilitation, administered immediately after the course. Results of the Hansen MOOC experiment. User survey. The Hansen MOOC participants who joined a language group were mostly from non-English speaking countries. For 79% of the participants surveyed, the language group represented an environment conducive to their learning activities. Their command of English was quite high. Only 23% of the Hansen MOOC participants were basic English users, 7% were native English speakers, and the remaining 70% were intermediate level or proficient users. Only 11% of those who dropped out of the course did so because of insufficient English language knowledge. For comparison, the most common reason for deciding not to continue the MOOC was lack of time. Even though reading materials in English did not appear to present a major obstacle to participation, and in spite of various announcements to the contrary, a small majority of the participants expected to find all materials translated in their own language and would certainly have preferred it in their own language. Accordingly, only 49% found the weekly Hangout live session of video conference in English easy to follow, whereas the weekly Hangouts in their own or preferred language were better received and reported as useful for 67%. Despite these notable difficulties with listening to Hangouts in English, in the experience of 65% there was a good balance between the materials and sessions in English and the language groups. Figure 11. Results of the survey of the participants about multilinguality. Overall then, although they had a good command of English and the English MOOC reading materials did not present a major obstacle to them, a large majority enjoyed being part of a multilingual MOOC, 78% enjoyed contributing in their own language and 79% found it very helpful having a facilitator in their own language. Responses they received from the facilitators were found helpful. Instructions provided by facilitators to the whole group were clear. Facilitators adequately helped to cope with the problems experienced during the learning activities. Overall, respondents were very satisfied with facilitators, their role, help, guide and motivation. In accordance with this positive assessment, only 2% of the participants who dropped out of the MOOC did so because they felt the facilitators did not provide enough guidance. This reason for dropping out is the least important of all the reasons recorded for the Hansen MOOC. Figure 12. Results of the survey of the participants about facilitation. Thus, In the participants' feedback on the multilingual facilitation, no factor stood out as a possible cause for observed engagement differences between language groups. The fact that the English group ranked only fourth in completion rates also seems to confirm that multilingual facilitation performed well enough to compensate for the disadvantage of non-native learning materials, and was thus largely irrelevant for explaining differences in completion behaviors between language groups. This apparent explanatory irrelevance of the act of facilitation and our inability to find any obvious clues corresponding to observed behavior differences prompted us to search for other possible predictors of these different behaviors. Since participant engagement seems to have settled already at the end of the first week, we looked for still earlier determinants which could be identified already in the very first days of the MOOC. We identified two instruments for probing the differential activity of the seven language groups that met our criteria: MailChimp and Canvas groups PageViews. A MailChimp campaign was launched on the second day of the MOOC already. It consisted of a welcoming message to the participants and contained a link to further information. It was sent separately to each language group and was phrased in the group's language. The result of this campaign were extracted 2 days later. Figure 13. Response to early MailChimp campaign by the seven language groups. Three language groups ranked above average in their response to the MailChimp message: the Catalan, Bulgarian and Greek ones. Response rates of the four remaining groups were below average. Thus, already on the second day in the MOOC's history, the differences in engagement between the language groups match those that were observed later on. Throughout the remaining runtime of the course, the use of the language group pages in Canvas complement these findings. Use of the MOOC Canvas platform by participants was evaluated through the analysis of the number of times the group pages were viewed. Google Analytics PageView was used to extract this information during the 5 weeks the MOOC ran, as well as the week before and after that. Figure 14. Group PageViews. As may be observed in average of all groups, page viewing reached a maximum during week 1, and then decreased steadily during the following weeks. The Catalan group showed a trend very similar to the average of all groups. The Bulgarian and Greek group stood out with the first week's peak of page viewing roughly double the average value. In contrast, page viewing for the remaining four groups was below average during the whole duration of the MOOC. For week 1 page viewing, the seven groups ranked as follows: first Bulgarian, second Greek, third Catalan, fourth French, fifth Spanish, sixth English and seventh Slovenian. This ranking was maintained over the entire measurement period. Thus, information from page viewing was in general agreement with data on module completion, especially of week 1 completion, and represented a good indicator of engagement in learning activities. Page viewing, it seems, gives valuable information on participants' daily engagement behaviors, even before completion of week 1, that is, during the very first days of the MOOC. This behavior was therefore detailed during a period of 11 days starting from the day of the kickoff Hangouts video conference, preceding by 3 days the official day 1 of the MOOC up to the first day of week 2. Figure 15. Group PageViews during the first days. The ordering previously observed for engagement in week 1's learning activities was conserved during the entire MOOC. An average or above average cluster consisting of the Bulgarian, Greek and Catalan groups and a below average cluster of English, French, Slovenian and Spanish groups. This order was already in place during the very first days of the MOOC, even on day 1. For the Greek group, group page viewing had started even the day before, on October 26, before any official facilitation action had occurred. Table 1 summarizes the measurements recorded on participation throughout the MOOC, from day 1 up to course completion. In addition, each of the seven language groups is given a color code to highlight its ranking for each MOOC event. This illustrates at a glance one of our main findings. The top three language groups in terms of completion rates were already ranked in the three topmost positions in terms of engagement from the first days of the course, that is, before multilingual facilitation could have had any impact. Table 1. Ranking and possible early predictors of course completion for the seven language groups. Conclusions and discussion. The Hansen MOOC experiment sought to investigate the veracity of two hypotheses. Whether using English only as the language of instruction negatively affects the completion rate, and 2. Whether using each participant's native language for facilitation would boost participation. We'll now confront these hypotheses in turn with the results obtained. Hypothesis 1 can best be evaluated by comparing the Hansen MOOC's completion rates with those obtained in the Eikton Primary Education MOOC, as this was a course for teacher training with instruction in English 2. In agreement with the findings of Jordan, who found that approximately 50% of MOOC students who sign up go on to become active users, 55% of those who had registered at the start of the IPE course were active during the first week, with 54%. This figure was similar for Hansen. Moreover, in both MOOCs, approximately 10% of those active in the first week received a certificate of course completion. Third, overall completion rates were almost identical. Looking at data on completion for other courses as compiled by Jordan, at that time a 5% completion rate was about the norm. We conclude therefore that our findings confirm our first hypothesis. Using English as the language of instruction does not negatively affect completion for an audience for which English is only one of the native languages present. However, behind the overall rate of 5.4%, quite a bit of diversity is hidden. Three groups outperformed the IPE reference, whereas the other four groups underperformed with respect to IPE. Note that all these groups were facilitated in the participants' preferred language. It seems that, unlike what Hypothesis 2 assumes, multilingual facilitation in some cases doubles or triples completion, but in other cases more than halved it. Hypothesis 2, therefore, cannot be confirmed, at least not in its present form. This, of course, prompts the question why this is so. In our discussion below, we will discuss how both groups of languages differed, and we will suggest two additional hypotheses that our data suggest but obviously go untested, for how one may account for the observed difference between them. Threshold group size values. Our findings suggest that it is impossible to change the course of events for learner engagement after week one, or indeed, even after the first day. The strict separation in rankings of the high completion cluster of the Bulgarian, Catalan and Greek groups on the one hand, and the low completion cluster of English, French, Slovenian and Spanish groups on the other hand, remains intact throughout the 5 weeks the MOOC lasted. This suggests, we surmise, the existence of early threshold values that need to be met in order to ensure subsequent engagement in learning activities. Of primary importance seems to be the size of the group of fully active participants during week one, as measured by the number of week one badges awarded. Figure 10 shows there is a correlation between final completion rates and the numbers of participants completing week 1. Note that no such correlation can be established between final completion rates and the initial size of the group. Indeed, the Greek group had the best post week 1 completion rate. This rate was lower in groups that were initially larger than the Greek one: English, French and Spanish. We suggest that the latter group's low completion rates are due to the low numbers of active participants in week 1. One may surmise that such low numbers are insufficient to reach a critical threshold number necessary for good operation of the peer tutoring activities, for building a sense of community, and for ensuring engagement through facilitation of learners for the remaining 4 weeks. A threshold of 25-30 fully active participants appears a good approximation for the minimal number required to ensure engagement past the first week. This was only obtained in three groups. Interestingly, in the typology of social systems for supporting learning, 30 persons is the size delimiting a group from a network. Moreover, the emergence of a network-like structure is critical for the development of learning support in large online courses such as MOOCs. Thus, staying below the size of 30 is likely to have prevented the low-completion language groups from adapting to the relatively unstructured learning environment of the Hansen MOOC. Furthermore, we suggest that threshold values separating the two clusters of high completing and low completing groups not only refer to the numbers of week one completers but also include other values, number of group page views and responses to MailChimp, as these apply even before week one completion. There seems to be a chronologically ordered series of predictive threshold values. This extension of the threshold hypothesis predicts that for obtaining at least the 10% completion rate observed on average for the 7 groups that actually started the Hansen MOOC, one would not only need to have at least 30 participants completing week 1 in a group but also, even before that, a MailChimp response rate of at least 80%, or an estimated number of course page views of at least 4.0 for week 1 or at least 0.75 for day 1. It would seem therefore that only slight differences early on can have a considerable impact on final completion rates. Compare for example the Catalan and Spanish groups on either side of the threshold of 0.75 for day 1 page viewing, with 0.79 and 0.68 respectively, and ending up with a completion rate of 18.6% and 1.1% respectively. Most importantly, even though the initial size of a group alone does not give reliable indication on the group's future success, these indicators and thresholds seem to be strongly suggestive, as early as from day 1. of the capacity of a group to organize successfully as a learning network of active participants. The apparently required initial size of a group has some theoretical grounding in the work of Dunbar, that is, in the so-called Dunbar number. This number is used to argue that a course needs to attain about 150 active participants in order to be considered massive, that is, to enable a connectivist dynamic. The average group size in the Hansen MOOC of 147.2 seems to qualify. Our findings suggest, however, that a group does not necessarily need 150 active participants to operate as a social learning network. 30 active participants already suffice. Groups in which fewer than 20% of those who signed up were converted into active participants during the first week ended up in the low completion cluster. Regardless of whether the initial size of the group was bigger or smaller than Dunbar's number of 150, the groups of the high completion cluster all counted fewer participants than Dunbar's number of 150 and still reached at least 30 active participants thanks to a first week conversion rate substantially higher than 20%. These observations seem to weaken the theoretical significance of Dunbar's number. However, Hill and Dunbar discern five different levels of group size, one of them being 21. That number is much closer to our finding of 30 active participants. Indeed, Slope argues that 150 is a maximum. Above it, and probably well below it already, one needs supportive structures, such as the already mentioned ad hoc transient communities, to kick off and maintain a sustainable social dynamic in a learning network. It is tempting, then, to speculate that inactive participants are somehow also important for the emergence of a group of 30 active participants. This ties in with work that underscores the importance of lurkers as well as with recent findings on the function of inactivity in decentralized complex systems. Therefore, the conversion rate threshold of 20% is likely to be meaningful and might be used, together with the absolute number of active participants, as a reliable indicator of sustainable social dynamics during the first week of a MOOC. Community factors. Our discussion thus far suggests an explanation for the success of the Bulgarian, Catalan and Greek groups. But why then failed the other groups, including the initially two largest ones, to engage in the first week's activities? The Greek facilitators may have been very active and significantly more supportive at the start of the course than did the facilitators in other language groups. However, this could hardly have had an impact that explains the lead already taken by the Greek group on the day previous to the start of the MOOC, when facilitation had not officially started yet. Moreover, participants surveyed only expressed an overall satisfaction with multilingual facilitation, and the group space per language was found to help create a sense of community by 73% of them. Thus, differences in facilitation do not appear to explain the differences in engagement between language groups. A more likely hypothesis for interpreting the low completion rates observed in the two initially largest English and Spanish groups invokes the notion of a pre-existing sense of community. Indeed, in contrast to the members of the best-performing Bulgarian, Catalan and Greek groups, who share a strong cultural identity, these two large groups included participants from all over the world. Other than sharing a common language, they had little in common culturally speaking. This absence of strong cultural ties and perhaps also of geographical proximity among participants and facilitators may have made the creation of a sense of community much harder, as well as the promotion of peer tutoring and participation in learning activities. Interestingly, out of the six cultural dimensions used to compare various countries, the only dimension for which a clustering is reproduced similar to that for course completion of language groups is individualism. The fact that a low level of individualism corresponds to the high completion cluster of language groups in the MOOC fits well with the notion of a strong, pre-existing sense of community for these groups. Along with this purely cultural aspect, the participants of the Bulgarian, Catalan and Greek groups may have also benefited from having been recruited to the MOOC from a common trusted source. This was especially the case for the participants of the Greek group, who were recruited through the Hansen partner Ilina Germaniki Agagi. They sent out invitation emails through the e-twinning mailing list to all primary and secondary Greek schools. A third example of pre-existing connections comes from the Catalan participants, who were linked with each other through a common incentive. Completing at least 80% of the learning activities gained them an official title from the Generalitat of Catalunya. These three factors all point into the direction of a rational decision-making process on the part of the participants. Before investing time in a MOOC, one wants to make sure that the time is well spent. Lack of space forbids us to explore this community perspective in further depths. Jointly, We will call these three explanations the tried and trusted community hypothesis. In summary, our discussion points out that for multilingual facilitation to be effective, two more conditions need to be fulfilled: an above threshold group size and a tried and trusted community. They appear critical for the formation of the learning network that constitutes the basis for the social dynamics of active participation in MOOCs. Further research is needed to investigate the general validity of this claim and to refine our understanding of how the factors of multilingual facilitation, a threshold group size and pre-existing ties within the group, act in concert. Regardless, to the extent that MOOCs are the new form of distance education, which goes in particular for the MOOCs emerging in Europe, our findings offer insights that may profitably be used both to design new distance learning offerings and to give distance education theory new inputs that still align with its original tenets and intentions of serving underprivileged and culturally heterogeneous audiences. Acknowledgements. We would like to thank Yuris Godnov, whose group was responsible for the analysis of the surveys in the Hansen Project, all facilitators of the seven language groups for voluntarily donating their precious time to the Hansen Project, and finally the Hansen team as a whole for their productive collaboration. The Hansen Project, properly, the Hands-on EIC Project, has been funded with support from the European Commission's Lifelong Learning Program. This publication reflects the views only of the authors, and the Commission cannot be held responsible for any use which may be made of the information contained therein. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. Goodbye.